Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 5, Chapter 15. Proofs of the Resurrection from Isaiah and Ezekiel. The same God who created us will also raise us up. Now, that he who at the beginning created man did promise him a second birth after his dissolution into earth, Isaiah thus declares, "The dead shall rise again, and they who are in the tombs shall arise, and they who are in the earth shall rejoice. For the dew which is from you is health to them." And again, "I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And you shall see, and your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish as the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to those who worship him." And Ezekiel speaks as follows, "And the hand of the Lord came upon me, and the Lord led me forth in the Spirit, and set me down in the midst of the plain, and this place was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many upon the surface of the plain, very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Lord, you who have made them knows. And he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and you shall say to them, You dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, Behold, I will cause the spirit of life to come upon you, and I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh again upon you, and I will stretch skin upon you, and I will put my spirit into you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And I prophesied as the Lord had commanded me. And it came to pass when I was prophesying, that, behold, an earthquake! And the bones were drawn together, each one to its own articulation. And I beheld, and lo, the sinews and flesh were produced upon them, and the skins rose upon them round about. But there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, Prophesy to the breath, son of man, and say to the breath, These things says the Lord, Come from the four winds, and breathe upon these dead, that they may live. So I prophesied as the Lord had commanded me, and the breath entered into them. And they did live, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great gathering. And again he says, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will set your graves open, and cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall open your sepulchres, that I may bring my people again out of the sepulchres. And I will put my spirit into you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your land, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I have said, And I will do, says the Lord. As we at once perceive that the Creator is in this passage represented as vivifying our dead bodies and promising resurrection to them, and resuscitation from their sepulchres and tombs, conferring upon them immortality also, he says, For as the tree of life, so shall their days be, in Isaiah. He is shown to be the only God who accomplishes these things, and as himself the good Father, benevolently conferring life upon those who have not life from themselves. And for this reason did the Lord most plainly manifest himself and the Father to the disciples, lest, forsooth, they might seek after another God besides him who formed man, and gave him the breath of life, and that men might not rise to such a pitch of madness as to feign another Father above the Creator. And thus also he healed by a word all though the others who were in a weakly condition because of sin. To whom also he said, Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Pointing out by this that because of the sin of disobedience, infirmities have come upon men. To that man, however, who had been blind from his birth, he gave sight not by means of a word, but by an outward action, doing this not without a purpose, or because it so happened, but that he might show forth the hand of God, which at the beginning had molded man. And therefore, when his disciples asked him for what cause the man had been born blind, whether for his own or his parents' fault, he replied, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now the work of God is the fashioning of man. For as the Scripture says, He made man by a sort of process. And the Lord took clay from the earth, and formed man. Wherefore also the Lord spat on the ground, and made clay, and smeared it upon the eyes, pointing out the original fashioning, how it was effected, and manifesting the hand of God, to those who can understand by what hand man was formed out of the dust. For that which the artificer, the Word, had omitted to form in the womb, that is, the blind man's eyes, he then supplied in public, that the works of God might be manifested in him, in order that we might not be seeking out another hand by which man was fashioned, nor another father, knowing that this hand of God which formed us in the beginning, and which does form us in the womb, has in the last times sought us out who were lost, winning back his own, and taking up the lost sheep upon his shoulders, and with joy restoring it to the fold of life. Now that the word of God forms us in the womb, he says to Jeremiah, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you went forth from the belly, I sanctified you, and appointed you a prophet among the nations. And Paul, too, says in like manner, But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, that I might declare him among the nations. As therefore we are by the word formed in the womb, this very same word formed the visual power in him who had been blind from his birth, showing openly who it is that fashions us in secret, since the Word himself had been made manifest to men, and declaring the original formation of Adam, and the manner in which he was created, and by what hand he was fashioned, indicating the whole from a part. And inasmuch as man, with respect to that formation which was after Adam, having fallen into transgression, needed the labor of regeneration, the Lord said to him, upon whom he had conferred sight, after he had smeared his eyes with the clay, Go to Siloam and wash. Thus restoring to him both his confirmation and that regeneration which takes place by means of the labor. And for this reason, when he was washed, he came seeing, that he might both know him who had fashioned him, and that man might learn to know him who had conferred upon him life. All the followers of Valentinus, therefore, lose their case, when they say that man was not fashioned out of this earth, but from a fluid and diffused substance. For from the earth out of which the Lord formed eyes for that man, from the same earth it is evident that man was also fashioned at the beginning. For it were incompatible that the eyes should indeed be formed from one source, and the rest of the body from another, as neither would it be compatible that one being fashioned the body, and the other his eyes. But he, the very same who formed Adam at the beginning, with whom also the Father spoke, saying, Let us make man after our image and likeness. Revealing himself in these last times to men, he formed visual organs for him who had been blind, in that body which he had derived from Adam. Wherefore also the Scripture, pointing out what should come to pass, says that when Adam had hid himself because of his disobedience, the Lord came to him at eventide, called him forth, and said, Where are you? That means that in the last times, the very same word of God came to call man, reminding him of his doings, living in which he had been hidden from the Lord. For just as that time God spoke to Adam at eventime, searching him out, so in the last times, by means of the same voice, searching out his posterity, he has visited them. Chapter 16. Since our bodies return to the earth, it follows that they have their substance from it. Also, by the coming of the Word, the image of God in us appeared in a clearer light. And since Adam was molded from this earth to which we belong, the Scripture tells us that God said to him, In the sweat of your face shall you eat your bread, until you turn again to the dust from whence you were taken. If then, after death, our bodies return to any other substance, it follows that from it also they have their substance. But if it be into this very earth, it is manifest that it was also from it that man's frame was created. As also the Lord clearly showed, when from this very substance he formed eyes for the man, to whom he gave sight. And thus was the hand of God plainly shown forth, by which Adam was fashioned, and we too have been formed. And since there is one and the same Father, whose voice from the beginning even to the end is present with his handiwork, and the substance from which we were formed is plainly declared through the gospel, we should therefore not seek after another Father beside him, nor another substance from which we have been formed, besides what was mentioned beforehand, and shown forth by the Lord, nor another hand of God, besides that which, from the beginning even to the end, forms us and prepares us for life, and is present with his handiwork, and perfects it after the image and likeness of God. And then again, this word was manifested when the word of God was made man, assimilating himself to man, and man to himself, so that by means of his resemblance to the Son, man might become precious to the Father. For in times long past, it was said that man was created after the image of God, but it was not actually shown, for the Word was as yet invisible, after whose image man was created. Wherefore also he did easily lose the similitude. When, however, the Word of God became flesh, he confirmed both these, for he both showed forth the image truly, since he became himself what was in his image, and he re-established the similitude after a sure manner, by assimilating man to the invisible Father through means of the visible Word. And not by the aforesaid things alone has the Lord manifested himself, but also by means of his passion. For doing away with that disobedience of man which had taken place at the beginning by the occasion of a tree, he became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross, rectifying that disobedience which had occurred by reason of a tree, through that obedience which was upon the tree. Now, he would not have come to do away, by means of that same image, the disobedience which had been incurred toward our Maker, if he proclaimed another Father. But inasmuch as it was by these things that we disobeyed God, and did not give credit to his word, so was it also by these same that he brought in obedience and consent, as respects his word, by which things he clearly shows forth God himself, whom indeed we had offended in the first Adam, when he did not perform God's commandment. In the second Adam, however, we are reconciled, being made obedient even unto death. For we were debtors to none other but him whose commandment we had transgressed in the beginning. End of chapter 16.